Hey guys, this is Nathan. I am sitting here with Jason. Say hi.
Hello everyone.
And we are talking about free will today. A couple weeks ago at Church in a Brewery, we talked about free will and we brought up four or five different views on it. So basically, today we just kind of wanted to put all these views on the table and discuss them. It's really interesting to look at some of these. I learned some stuff that I didn't know before, but there's a lot of stuff on this topic. Like, do we have, as humans, total choice over what we do? Are we governed by our brains? Are our decisions dictated by chemicals? How much choice do we have? Is it a mix between the two? Does God let us make choices? Does he make choices for us? There's all kinds of stuff on this road. What are some questions that come to your mind, Jason, on this topic?
Yeah, on this particular topic, this one has been something, if I go purely from a biblical standpoint and not from just what my brain is thinking standpoint. So purely from a biblical standpoint, it's something that I've gone over and round and round and round for many, many years. Sometimes it's pure free will. Sometimes it's purely kind of a Calvinist kind of thing. It's a really interesting topic and it runs the gamut. Sometimes I feel like that this is a topic that is important, but maybe we should kind of take it for what it's worth and say we don't know. So it's a really interesting idea and topic to discuss.
Yeah, there could be a spectrum. Like at one end is you have no free will. Mm-hmm. And then at the other end is there's total free will. And I don't know that anybody knows exactly where the line falls. Mm-hmm. So that makes it very interesting. In high school, I had an English professor and he had us read some of these different views. And he was talking about, you know, how people have a relationship with God. Do you have a choice in that or not? And that is part of the debate here, something we're going to discuss. So without further ado, how about we jump into some of these different views? The first view that I'm going to bring up is more of a naturalist view. Maybe people who don't believe in God might hold this view. There's a naturalist version of this view, and there is also like a spiritual version of this exact same view. So we'll kind of contrast them later. But this is called determinism. And the definition of it is the doctrine that all events, including human action, are ultimately predetermined by causes external to the will. So some philosophers have taken determinism to imply that an individual has no free will at all and cannot be morally responsible for their actions. So they're saying, like, if someone commits crimes or they're a serial killer, they can't help it and they're not responsible for that. So that's very interesting. It has a lot of implications. Some people that you might know that hold this view are Stephen Hawking and Sam Harris. So Stephen Hawking was one of the famous atheists who believed that we're just cause and effect machines, is how he would describe it. And Sam Harris would say that we don't have an immaterial mind. Like, we don't have a soul. In their mind, a mind is more like just your brain. Whereas from a spiritual perspective, Jason and I would believe that there is a mind that's separate from the brain itself, from the physical brain. Maybe that's called the soul or the spirit or something like that. So there's different views on that. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit. Have you ever heard the idea that our choices are just dictated by chemicals in the brain?
I haven't really come at it from that kind of scientific mindset. My view has always been more in the biblical mindset and how people come at it in that aspect of things. So are they saying that our chemicals are just going to react how they're going to react and there's nothing we can do about it?
Yeah, like I like Foo Fighters, but they would say that's dictated by chemicals. Like, I don't really know if I like Foo Fighters or not. My brain chemistry dictated that for me. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems to be the extreme end of this topic. And then we go all the way to the other end. So we're starting at the extreme end. So yes.
Well, something I really like to do is try to find the things that I do agree with within maybe a view I don't agree. So Jason and I don't fall into that camp, but I'd like to think about what pieces does that view have that we might agree with or that might actually fit with what we think.
I would say that I do believe that God is out there and he knows what things are going to happen and knows how they are going to happen. And so you could argue it into there is no free will, and then could argue it right into that determinism kind of standpoint.
Yeah. And so what you're talking about there is kind of a link between what's called Reformation theology or Calvinism, which we'll explain that in a little bit, but that is an interesting link there. I was thinking of this doctor that we listened to on a podcast before called, I think it's Timothy Jennings. It's this guy that wrote a book called The God-Shaped Brain. And he was talking about kind of a blend between brain chemistry and the mind, like the immaterial mind, like a spirit. He was saying that the things that we think actually cause a chemical reaction in the brain, which then affects the brain wiring. So what you think or what you focus on, whether it be a positive thought or love or hate, actually has a physical effect on the brain, and then that reinforces your decisions. In his theology, there's free will, but it affects brain chemistry and reinforces decisions and thinking and things like that. So that means that there is some biological influence. Like, think about people with addictions. That's the big thing I thought of when I was thinking about, okay, what are they seeing in the world? What are these naturalists seeing in the world that makes them believe that we don't have free will? And I thought of, maybe it is addictions, because you can see how sometimes we become almost like heavily influenced by our brains and we can't break some pattern that we've found ourselves in.
Hmm. And then if a person chooses to smoke, for example, and is so heavily into it that they don't really have a choice, that they just must do it because that's just how it is. And if they don't do it, then their world is falling apart in an addiction kind of scenario. And so they don't really have a choice at that point until maybe they change their brain chemistry.
Yeah, and depression is a cycle and things like that. And we don't know, like, do they have any choice left? Do they have free will? Is it down to 10%? I mean, it's obviously very, very difficult for people at a certain point. So I would look at that, and I think maybe that's some of the stuff that they're seeing that makes them feel like we don't have a soul or a mind. So let's look at the opposite view. There's something called indeterminism or non-determinism. So in this view, not all events are determined by outside forces. It's a mix of free will and cause and effect. So this is still kind of a natural view, a naturalist view, but like the future is not set on like a single future. It is shapeable. I'll just bring in some quotes here. Aristotle believed that there are chance events. In Aristotle's view, it was possible for everything to have a necessary cause, but the future is flexible. So he believed there's kind of a set course, but there can be accidents too. And if you've heard of Epicurus, he believed something really interesting. This is like science ahead of its time. He believed atoms would occasionally swerve from otherwise determined paths, and that could initiate new causal chains. He called these swerves, and in those swerves, we could be more responsible for our actions. So that is interesting. It sounds to me, if I could boil that down to something simple, we do a lot of things based on brain chemistry, but occasionally we break them and then new possible futures open up.
And therefore, everyone else is affected by those new possible futures, and it just is constantly, constantly changing. Who knows what's going to happen kind of thing. Huh. That is kind of interesting. It's like we know that the world is programmed to go from order to chaos, and it's always falling apart. So do our decisions, and do they just kind of keep getting wilder and crazier, and the world is eventually going to implode on itself due to our extreme free will, and anything could happen at any time just by people's actions.
Yeah, and have you ever seen Terminator or X-Men Days of the Future Past or anything? They keep trying to go back and change things to change the future. Can you imagine how boring a time travel movie would be in determinism where there's just one future? That would be funny. I decided that if I were going to hold one of the natural views, or the one that's most compatible with my thinking, would be indeterminism, because I do think there's a mix of biology and kind of maybe some fixed things, like if God has a plan and there's something he's trying to do, then some things are determined. But I think there's an awful lot of wiggle room and an awful lot of freedom for us. So of the natural choices, like the non-spiritual choices, indeterminism to me is the one that I most resonate with. What about you?
Yeah, that actually seems to make sense to me, because I just have no idea what is going to happen, and things can change so drastically in our brains. I just can't see everything being in a set period, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I would probably tend, if it was had to be a natural side, it would probably be that one.
Okay, so now let's take a look at the spiritual views. So if we bring that spiritual dimension into those other two views, it looks like this. One of these views is called theological determinism, and that's the view that everything that has ever happened or will happen was predetermined by God. And there are actually, this surprised somebody at group. There's a guy at our group that he doesn't consider himself religious, but he was surprised when I told him there are Christians who believe in free will, and there are Christians who don't, and there are Christians who are a blend. So even within Christianity, there is this huge, wide spectrum. Even in Judaism and Islam, they have people who are theologically deterministic in that camp. This actually divides into two categories. There's something called strong theological determinism, which is where God dictates all events in history and everything is predetermined. And then there's kind of like a middle ground view called weak theological determinism that allows for a little bit more free will. I call it the free will clause, because they have a way to account for free will. Whereas in strong theological determinism, there's not a whole lot of free will. I mean, there was a view that we studied in that English class in high school that just said, the people that are going to have a relationship with God after this life, it's predetermined and there's absolutely nothing they can do in their life to get to where God is, which is kind of scary. Weak theological determinism is based on the idea that God knows the future and he knows what's going to happen, so he could predetermine everything to get a desired outcome because he knows what you're going to choose.
Yeah, you pretty much said exactly what I'm thinking in the Bible. And again, I'm going to kind of go down the Bible road, because that's the way I know, because I do believe that the Bible is what it says. So in Romans and in 1 Peter, it talks about God's foreknowledge of, he knows what absolutely everyone is going to do, because he knows what choice that I'm going to make. But I still had the choice to make that choice way back whenever God was thinking about the world. This is such an odd subject, because you can just run yourself in circles.
Mm-hmm.
In Romans and in 1 Peter, it's said that God has foreknowledge. And if he has foreknowledge, that's not anything that we can ignore, and that he knows what someone will choose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's interesting, because I remember when we first started talking about this, you and I, like 2 years ago, we got into some discussion about free will. Because I'm pretty high on free will, just in my thinking. It's a huge emphasis for how I see the world. And when I was talking to you, it's interesting because you have a different view, but the more I think about it, I realize that the two views are compatible. Mm-hmm. Because you're going back and forth between thinking we have free will, or we don't, but we do, or we did, or like, mm-hmm. It's basically the same thing. Like, we end up at the same place, because you're not saying that we never had free will.
Right.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
It is very confusing. And I would like to say the most important thing to me is for everyone to not get so locked up in on the details of this.
Mm-hmm.
And as my dad would say, keep the main thing, as far as a Christian relationship goes, if we want to talk about it in that way. So yes, it's important, but there are such wide views on this. The very smartest people, your Stephen Hawking, all the way down to the very smartest theologians, Dr. Michael Heiser, everybody, they all have their own opinions of this. And somebody's wrong. Completely. Somebody's right, or there's somebody's in the middle. So this is not something that we should really get wrapped up in and make a big deal of. Yes, free will is a big deal, but we can't let it shape our lives. And, mm-hmm. You know, I've seen people go into depression that, oh, doesn't matter what I'm going to do. It's already been determined. So what point does life even have? So we don't know what's going to happen. So we got to ride this ride out and make the best decisions that we can.
Mm-hmm. I would say if you hold the view that like, oh, there's nothing I can do. I can't have a relationship with God. So I'm just not going to do anything or not going to explore that. I would say explore some different views and just familiarize yourself with it a little bit to see if that's really true or if maybe one of these other views makes sense. If you hold that opinion, I would just recommend exploring a little bit. Or if you have the opinion like, well, I can't do anything to change, so I'm going to go burn down some buildings or something. I would test mm-hmm. that theory just a little bit first. But within, there's such a wide view of free will and God, you know, I think there is a lot of room there and nobody really knows where the needle is.
Mm-hmm.
I have an Einstein quote from his view of weak theological determinism, and it is very interesting. It is, events do not happen. They already exist and are seen on the time machine.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting just to point out, okay, Einstein, obviously a genius, right? Stephen Hawking, obviously a genius. They're worlds apart in their view of free will.
That's exactly what I'm saying. You know, what Einstein said makes more sense to me than what Stephen Hawking says, but we know that God lives on a different timeline. And if he knows what we're going to do and what we have done and going to do, all of that just kind of drives you batty going around in circles and circles. So, you know, this is, I don't want to say this is an entertainment topic or we should take it lightly, but at the same time, we just have to be careful with what we do with mm-hmm. this, because there are entire denominations of Reformed theology that make this such an important part of their life. It's so important to them that it really runs who they are. So, you know, I've seen that. I've had family members in that boat who are completely on such the extreme that we have no free will at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it runs their lives in that manner, and we can't allow that to happen or else it just takes the joy out of life.
Mm-hmm. There was a guy at our brewery church meeting that night too. He said something I'd never thought of before. He said, let's say you grew up going to church and you never really thought about what you believe that much. Have you really chosen? If you only had one option, have you really chosen? I guess that's the reason I'm not afraid of exploring different views, because like I think if the Bible is true, then it will still hold up. But also, I think somebody's choice to believe it means even more,
mm-hmm.
a commitment to it means even more than... But we're talking about Stephen Hawking and Einstein. Those guys have much bigger brains than me. And that's very intimidating because, like, you know, we're trying to figure out, well, what's the truth, right? Well, it is interesting that maybe knowledge isn't everything because one of those guys is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're opposites. They're both a genius, but one of those guys is not correct.
Hmm. A quick story is I was younger and I talked about family members that I have and people that went to a specific church who were really on this Calvinistic extreme view of things.
That we have no free will, right?
That we have no free will. And this particular person, I worked at a job with him and I designed a mechanical part. And it was kind of a big deal. And we were waiting for it to come back from the machine shop and to see if it was going to work and fit and all of these kind of things. And I had made the comment to him, you know, I was young and jobs were really important. And not that they're not, but I was always nervous about my job and everything. And I had made a comment to him. It's like, oh, I was praying all night that this was going to work. He said, what are you praying for? It's already done. There's no need to be praying for that. That's already been determined. We know what's going to happen. Either it's going to work or it's not. There's nothing to pray about here. It's like that really struck me. And that was when I was in my early 20s. And I always remembered that. And that is a person who has allowed that view to run their life.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, yeah, I guess it already has been made and done. The part was already made and completed while I was praying for it. So in reality, he was probably right. I wasn't going to molecularly shift into a different form that was going to make it fit into the place that it needed to fit after it was already made.
Oh, okay. So that does remind me of, like, when people say, will you pray for me? I took this test and I'm waiting to see if I'll pass or not. Or I took a COVID test and I don't want to come back positive. Mm-hmm. But like, their blood has already been taken for the test.
Right.
And so I'm always thinking, well, the results are already, they already exist.
They already exist, don't know. Exactly.
I always think stuff like that.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that.
Yeah, it reminds me of that. And I thought, wow, that's, you're right. But at the same time, we still have to be able to think and live. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Our life doesn't have to fit in such a tight box like that.
Well, we could change this conversation, just the wording a little, to be destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start thinking about, does destiny exist? That is part of the free will argument. Because if, you know, everything is destined, predestined, you have no free will. Even if you think we have some free will, it doesn't mean destiny doesn't necessarily exist, you know?
Interesting. You can lay awake at night just sitting there thinking about how what I'm thinking right now has already happened before. If you're kind of on Einstein's line of thinking, this has already happened.
In the future,
this has already happened. Yeah. And so that's pretty interesting. So if it's already happened, then it's already been determined. So I really didn't have a choice in it. Mm-hmm. See, you can just talk yourself into circles with this.
And that's different than like reincarnation, because you're mm-hmm. still talking about one life, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
The fourth and final view I was going to bring up was, we kind of discussed earlier, but that's the idea that there is a God and that he's given us free will, a choice to choose if we want a relationship with him or not, a choice if we want a relationship with other people or not, things like that. So when I was talking about how free will is a big deal in my thinking, mm-hmm. there's different camps in Christianity. Like, some people believe your wife has been pre-chosen for you, or your career, or you are definitely supposed to move to Ohio and be an engineer, or do this or that. There is that type of thinking. And I mean, how am I to know that in some cases God hasn't picked out somebody's wife for them or a career? I mean, maybe he has. I tend to think that he lets us pick some of those things more, but I can't necessarily tell you why I think that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a big picture that he's concerned about,
mm-hmm.
and maybe sometimes he has to kind of work some smaller things to make that happen. Because ultimately, like, there's a scripture I printed out. It's in 1 Timothy 2:4. It says, God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the mm-hmm. truth. So God wants a relationship with everyone. To me, that ruled out the idea that we don't have any free will.
Mm-hmm.
Because in high school English class, they were talking about predestination and people being born, but they're going to hell and there's nothing they can do. Well, what good does it do for God to hope or desire that they end up with him if they don't have that choice? And I also felt like, okay, so if people have no free will and they're born doomed, then does that make God a bad guy? Because if it does, like, the rest of the Bible says he's good and he's fair and he's just, well, wouldn't making people who are eternally doomed and have no say in the matter, no choice, wouldn't that negate some of those good things that we're told about his character?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the way to reconcile it was, okay, we must have free will to some extent. And I tend to give it more credit than some, but mm-hmm. what do you think?
I agree with you. God knows what we're going to do, but we still have had the free will to do it. And mm-hmm. I just cannot toss aside the Bible telling us that God has the foreknowledge and he knows exactly what's going to happen and what's going to be done. So that's something that we can't ignore. And I would say that us saying that we have a choice is not ignoring that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I've just decided to land on it. Who knows? That could change in the future with me personally, but that's where I've kind of decided to land on it. And like I've said a couple times, just know that it's not something I can control, and it's not something that's super important in the long run. I choose to live the best that I can, and God lives on some timeline that none of us can understand.
Yeah. Okay, so I've got two thoughts. I'm going to push back against myself for a minute and ask the question, do you think that God would ever do anything to block a choice or hijack your free will because long term, maybe that is the best thing for you.
I'm not really sure.
Because I could see if God knew, like, deep down, like, you really wanted a relationship with him, but you were about to do something that was going to send you down this terrible path that you were never going to come back from.
Mm-hmm.
I could almost see him doing something to block that, because he knows what your bigger desire is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just a scenario I made up right now.
It's really interesting with this topic. You can just keep going and going and going.
Mm-hmm.
You started reminding me of the unforgivable sin or the unpardonable sin at that point. When have you gone too far? When has someone gone so far? You know, it's just kind of a never-ending thing. It's fun to discuss, and maybe a discussion like this actually has a very positive effect on someone that causes some clarity rather than confusion in their lives, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it makes it kind of fun and worthwhile to talk about in some aspect.
Well, if you're feeling scared right now, underneath all of this, I filter things through, okay, what do I know about God's character? I know he's good. I know he's fair. I know he wants everybody to be with him. So I kind of use that as a filter when I'm thinking about some of these questions. So that could be helpful. There's one last thing I wanted to bring up that I thought of because of something you just said about how we don't understand what God's timeline is on. He's on a whole different timeline. Even that, there's a debate about God and whether or not he's entered into time with us or if he's outside of time, which is crazy. Like, I don't even understand it, but I've read stuff from William Lane Craig and from other people that talk about, you know, that subject. But either way, he's seen the end. So either way, he's got foreknowledge because he's seen how things are going to work out and what it's going to take to get there. I can't even comprehend what kind of mind would be powerful enough to see, like, all outcomes. You seen that in Infinity War, Doctor Strange looks into the future and looks at all possible outcomes. Like, that's kind of the thing God did and then was able to direct things to his end goal.
And, you know, he actually did that by entering into our timeline in Jesus, because we know Jesus is God. The Bible does tell us Jesus was and is God. So he did enter into our timeline to give that desired effect and that desired outcome.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the subject to know if when they say God entered into time, if they're just talking about Jesus or if they're talking about the Father, because there is also a view that God the Father entered into time when he created everything. I know very little about that, but it's very interesting, or it could make your head explode. I don't know.
Some of my earliest memories are of being a child laying in bed trying to think about infinity and how something can never end or how something never had a beginning. And I just always remember looking up and thinking about stars and how just kind of driving myself crazy just as a young child trying to wrap my head around infinity. And how something never had a beginning.
That is a question I asked as a kid, and it, like, hurt my brain. It's like, what existed before everything existed? How can there be nothing? That really messed with my head.
Yep.
Well, you got any final comments on this?
No, I don't really have any final comments. I find it interesting and entertaining, and I find it to be that I'm not smart enough to understand it. So my little bit of understanding is where I might be right now, but who knows where it will be someday. And as I continue to search and study, you know, and listen to people, and, you know, it's something that is, it's good to talk about, but yet at the same time, like I said, is something that we don't need to dwell on.
Yeah. And on this podcast, we basically just kind of put all the different views out there. Maybe an interesting one to do sometime would be pull up all the verses on free will and try to figure out what does the Bible actually say that makes us think we have some free will. And I do think part of it is if Jesus tells us to go tell other people about him so they can decide if they're going to have a relationship with God or not, that seems to be a little bit of evidence to me that, okay, people have a choice, because why would he make our mission to go talk to other people about him if there's no decision to be made?
That is a question that I've always had. And the people that are on that real far spectrum that we have no free will and everything, absolutely everything is predetermined, when you're asked the question, why do we preach? Why do we go forth? It's because God told us to do so. Mm-hmm. And that's really the answer that they have, is because the Bible says we should. So I feel like there's a disconnect there, but mm-hmm. my little brain isn't smart enough to handle all that. That doesn't seem to make 100% sense to me,
mm-hmm.
but I've always kind of wondered that the answer is because God says so, kind of tells me that they don't have all the answers either.
Mm-hmm. Most people need more information than that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it feels like you're just doing it in vain.
Right.
But, I mean, I could see if you bring God's foreknowledge into the equation, that does kind of equalize some of that, because God knew it was going to take this person to go here to have mm-hmm. this result, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you guys for listening. Hey, if you want to send us any questions or comments or anything like that, look us up on Facebook. I recently changed the name of the Facebook page to match our Monday night meeting. So the Facebook page is now called Church in a Brewery. It used to be Brewery Ministries. And we meet every Monday night at Augustino Brewing at 7:30 p.m. That's in Wichita. So if you want to go to a meeting or you got questions about it, or if you just want to comment on the podcast, just look us up on Facebook or Instagram under Church in a Brewery and give us a shout. All right. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.